Coming up on Tech News Today, Facebook phone finally for real. Google says fork you to WebKit. That's F-O-R-K. And a new law that wants to force you to give over your Facebook password. All that and more coming up.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Thursday, April 4th, 2013. Tech News Today is brought to you by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPad, Samsung Galaxy, and other smartphones are worth at gazelle.com. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Aya Zakhtar.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And this is the show where we keep you up to date on the most important stories in the tech world, put them in context for you, starting each time with the top 10 stories of the day in the news. Through the magic of time travel, I will start by telling you what you will learn by the end of this episode. Ask the doctor. Facebook today announced a new launcher for Android called Facebook Home. Facebook Home takes over the home screen and integrates Facebook features like Messenger, the news feed, and your contacts list. It also features a new Messenger app called Chatheads, which uses Facebook Messenger and SMS. The first phone to feature the new app will be the HTC First. The app will also come to other phones as well, though. HTC First will be available for pre-order today and ships along with the app on April 12th.
Samsung has entered a deal with Best Buy to staff many stores inside the big ones to showcase and demonstrate its smartphones, tablets, televisions, and the like. According to Bloomberg, 500 of Samsung's new experience shops will be opened by April 8th and will make up 460 square feet inside Best Buy's largest stores. Stores will be staffed by Samsung employees in order to promote not only the upcoming Galaxy S4 smartphone, but also help consumers learn how to share content.
Google announced it's forking WebKit and will start using a new rendering engine it calls Blink. Blink will be open source and be based on WebKit. Google said that it decided to move to Blink because the pace of innovation on WebKit has slowed down. Google's Justin Xu, on his personal Google Plus page, not speaking for Google, says that he expects Chrome security to increase with the move to Blink.
It's going to be hard to get Doctor Who fans to use that, though. Business Week reports that the budget for Apple's new campus building has increased from less than $3 billion to $5 billion. That would make it more costly than the World Trade Center complex in New York, running at about $15,000 per square foot. The 26 existing buildings on the sites will start coming down in June, pushing the move-in date from an expected 2015 off to 2016. Investors, who, as you know, are already antsy about Apple's position in the smartphone market, are starting to question the wisdom of spending that much money on an office building.
Apple's iMessage chat service may not work that well, but at least its encryption keeps federal drug enforcement agents from eavesdropping on suspects' conversations. That's according to an internal Drug Enforcement Administration document obtained by CNET. The DEA's warning is the most detailed example of the tech issues that police face when attempting to conduct court-authorized surveillance on non-traditional forms of communication.
T-Mobile seems to be doing well. For the first quarter of 2013, the company experienced a net gain of 579,000 customers. Its churn rate was at 1.9%, which is its best rate since 2008. T-Mobile now provides service for 34 million. T-Mobile CEO John Legere says these results display positive momentum. Unlike the March 26th announcement, there was no swearing involved in that statement.
Damn right. Citing recent threats and posturing by the government of North Korea, hackers have defaced the country's official Twitter and Flickr accounts. North Korean news and information website uriminizokiri.com has become unavailable, likely due to a distributed denial of service attack.
Thief, a contemporary reboot of the classic PC stealth game, got some love at GDC this week. The presentation and demos seem to impress folks. If you read the reviews, there's lighting and shadow techniques and taking advantage of next-gen hardware. But the gameplay seemed a little unfinished to some reviewers. Not that the Thief franchise return isn't welcome, franchise rather, but the modernization doesn't necessarily sit well. PC World puts it, it comes off a bit unbelievable in a time when stealth action games have been elevated past visual detection via light and darkness.
After apologizing that China didn't like its warranty policies, Apple has now taken further steps to ingratiate themselves with the People's Republic, removing an app from the Chinese iTunes store. The app was an online bookstore and allowed access to 10 books, three of which are banned by the Chinese government.
Where there's a will, there's a Huawei. That was terrible.
Ah.
Moving on. Talking to the Wall Street Journal, Huawei VP Bob Cai says the company's wireless network operations will see growth of at least 10% thanks to demand from Asia and Europe. Huawei has maintained good relationships with wireless carriers in Europe for some time now. The company is currently the number two telecom equipment supplier behind Ericsson.
This episode of Tech News Today brought to you by Gazelle. Do you want the new iPhone, iPad, Samsung Galaxy, HTC phone? Maybe that thing that Facebook's announcing right now that we're going to get to in a second. Before you get your new phone, if you already upgraded, that's fine. Still, go to Gazelle and sell your old phone, your used phone, your old gadgets, your MacBook that you're not using anymore, and get some cash for that new stuff. Don't just bury it in a drawer. Find out what it's worth at gazelle.com. And it's super easy. That's why I love using Gazelle. It's G-A-Z-E-L-L-E.com to find your item. Tell Gazelle the condition. They'll even buy broken iPhones and iPads. Get a risk-free offer for your gadgets. And then lock in that quote for 30 days. You got 30 days to either get your new phone or transfer to a new phone or just figure out if you really got everything off the phone that you need. And then once you send it to Gazelle, you'll get paid fast by check or PayPal. Go to gazelle.com now to get an offer. You get paid in cash. It's risk-free and it's trustworthy. Best of all, it's easy. Free shipping. Most items qualify for a free box. And fast processing. No listing hassles. You don't have to deal with that stuff. You got a Samsung Galaxy S2, iPad 2, iPhone 4S, leaving by broken iPhones and iPads. What's your iPhone, iPad, or Android smartphone worth? Take a minute. Go to gazelle.com to find out. Sell your used iPhone or Samsung Galaxy smartphone today at gazelle.com. And we thank them for their support of Tech News Today. Joining us now to discuss the stories of the day, very happy to have Bonnie Cha, senior reviewer at All Things D on the show. Welcome back to the show, Bonnie.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Big day, of course, the Facebook announcement going on as we're recording the show. So Sarah Lane, you're deep in the live blog, watching the stream. We're going to be popping that stream up there. Zuckerberg on stage talking right now. Has he said much so far yet, Sarah?
Yeah, in fact, he walked up there and said, hey, today we're going to talk about the Facebook phone. And
Whoa.
Then he said, actually, your Android phone. Right now, he's talking about how Facebook is the most used third-party app on smartphones. And what they're trying to do, you know, there's a little bit of like a, you know, Facebook is always about being open and connected, blah, blah, blah. He says, we want to design a phone for people first, not apps first. Says that current smartphone UIs are akin to Windows 3.1, which is sort of rough. That's what we've got so far. So a lot of setup. We're in the setup phase.
All right. Yeah, they're probably going to go through some numbers soon if they follow the normal announcement format. We'll be checking back in with Sarah throughout the show to find out what they're talking about. And then hopefully once they're done announcing it, we can have a little discussion about that. For now, though, tell us a little bit about this forking of WebKit that Google is doing.
Yeah, yesterday I was looking at the news. It's happened around like 250 or something. Google announced it's forking WebKit. And it's going to start using a new rendering engine. It's calling Blink. And it's going to be based on WebKit. And this was announced on a blog post at the Chromium blog. Google says that since Chromium uses different multi-process architecture than other WebKit-based browsers and supporting multiple architectures over the years, it's led to increasing complexity for both WebKit and Chromium projects. And they're saying that that's made innovation slow. Google wants to move that along. They said in the short term, Blink is going to bring little change to the way people develop for the web. But having multiple rendering engines will spur innovation. That's their language for this. And if you're wondering about Opera, which just announced they were going to move to WebKit, dumping Presto, there's a bunch of statements out there. The Next Web found out that Opera is going to be going with the Chromium package, which also would mean that they are moving to Blink for their rendering engine. And there's all kinds of craziness going on. So people don't know when Chrome officially will move to Blink, but Chromium will be using this. Bonnie, what kind of impact do you think this is going to have on web development long-term?
Long-term, I think, without being constrained to each other, I do think, you know, maybe Apple and Google will be able to kind of move faster in developing, you know, their specific browsers. I think for developers, I think there's the concern of compatibility, having to make sure that web apps work with all these different browsers. And then, you know, there's also this concern that, you know, you're going to have this thing of Google versus Apple again, you know, and what happens to kind of some of the smaller guys. So
Because Google and Apple were actively developing WebKit, because that's an open source thing that Apple put out there. And they've been, both of them have been adding security. And it seems like this might be somewhat of a theoretical political move on Google's part. Tom, what do you make of this change?
Yeah, well, I think this is pretty smart for Google. They've only been using WebCore. They haven't been using the entire WebKit wrapper. In fact, Apple's already moved on to WebKit 2. And one of the problems is that a lot of things in the core are meant to support features in WebKit 2 that Google doesn't use. And also, Google has to have WebCore support a lot of things that Chrome does that aren't necessary for the other browser. So I think it's actually good for everybody to say, you know what, we really just need to rebuild the core to work with our project. And this is a normal procedure for open source products. We were talking about this in the chat room before the show. Forking is not always a bad thing. In fact, sometimes it's a great thing. And the fact that Opera is jumping in and saying, yeah, we'll contribute to this project as well. It's just another open source project. It means more browser competition. It means that WebKit can get more efficient because it doesn't have to support all of these things that Chrome was doing that nobody else was doing. And it means Chrome can get more efficient because it can toss out all those files that were trying to support WebKit 2 that Chrome wasn't using. So overall, I think this is probably going to make for sleeker and faster browsers from both sides.
There was a story a couple of weeks ago showing that Google was working on a way for add-ons and extensions to work on all versions of Chrome, including iOS, Android, and it would work on Windows and Mac and all these other devices. The concept would be you build an extension and it would work on everything, including Chrome OS. Bonnie, do you think this is going to be a big deal for Chrome OS? Because once you move away from this older standard, you move to Blink, it looks like there can be a lot more development specifically that it's going to be available for Chrome and also mirroring in Chrome OS.
Yeah, definitely. Like Tom said, I think it's a very smart move for Google, just because they are going to be able to concentrate more on Chrome OS and, you know, maybe be able to make more powerful and stable web apps for, you know, Chrome OS and kind of, you know, to use the term post-PC world, kind of get their, you know, Chrome OS products on the market and make it a more powerful solution for consumers and users and things like that.
I think some people, though, are concerned, in theory, that there will be this kind of, you have to write code for Chrome. Because it's still based on WebKit, theoretically, if you still wrote it in WebKit or you wrote things that would work in a WebKit browser, it should still work in the long term for Chrome and everything. But does anyone think there's any fear that this is going to be a nightmare for developers where they have to be, okay, all this code is for Chrome and all this code is for something else?
That's no different than the way it is now. Even though they share the web core, you still have a lot of things that you have to customize across the different WebKit browsers. So it could be more of a nightmare, possibly. I'd like to hear some developers out there and what they think. But honestly, it probably clears some things up in a way.
I'm looking forward to see what happens with this, because if Chrome can do things, I believe one of the managers of Chrome was mentioning iframes being a separate process. So if that crashes, your whole page doesn't go down. There are things that you can't do with WebKit the way it is right now. And this change might mean a more stable version of Chrome. Because I know Chrome, for me, at least its Mac version has been buggy as all heck for the past couple of months. Maybe a change will make it more stable. And I'm just kind of curious what's going to happen in the future, because if we have extensions that are working on throughout every Chrome version and the web apps get more and more powerful, the browser could easily become your operating system.
Let's check in with Sarah Lane. Mark Zuckerberg yammering away up on stage. What's he been saying?
Well, okay, so we're getting now to the nuts and bolts of what this is. He says, we're not building a phone and we're not building an operating system. This is a version of Android. You don't need to fork it. It's just it's a different way of interacting with it. So the home screen of Facebook's Android version is simply called Home. What you do is you install Home on your Android phone, and then you've got photos and status updates and all of that stuff, which is both the home screen and the lock screen, to be able to like things. You don't have to swipe. It doesn't really require any gestures. You can double tap to like a variety of updates. So at least at this point, it's your news feed in this immersive experience on your phone, you know, on the home screen before you even basically get into any other app on your phone.
Bonnie, what's your first impression of this, just in what little we've heard so far?
I don't know if it's necessary. You know, I don't find the app we have now to be, you know, horrible. So I think there might be a definite target audience for this type of phone, but I'm not sure. kind of like the HTC, I think, what was it, the Status or the Cha-Cha?
Mm-hmm. The Cha-Cha, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it's more than that because it takes over the lock screen and the home screen. But
right.
Otherwise,
yeah.
You're right. It doesn't sound like it does anything that much different, at least not so far. But that's also what we expected. So
right.
Let's talk a little bit while we let those developments unfurl on stage at the Facebook headquarters about Arthur Frommer getting his brand back from Google. This is a really weird story. That's why I wanted to talk about it. AP reporting that Google is going to sell the Frommer's brand back to its founder, 83-year-old Arthur Frommer. He plans to continue publishing Frommer's books and ebooks. Google bought Frommer's from Wiley last year for $22 million. Google says we spent the last several months integrating the travel content we acquired from Wiley into Google Plus Local and our other Google services. We can confirm that we have returned the Frommer's brand to its founder and are licensing certain travel content to him. Now, Arthur Frommer himself sold his company to Simon Schuster back in 1977. So it's not like he had it when Google bought it. It's sort of like Google bought it, took all the data, copied it over, and then handed it back to the founder. What the Frommer's is going on here? Do you have a guess?
You know, I was thinking about it this morning. I'm like, what on earth was Google thinking with this? And it just looks like that Google figured out it's just cheaper to buy the company or buy this data than resell it than it is to license this indefinitely, because licensing requires an ongoing relationship. So they're like, forget it. We're going to buy this. We're going to copy everything we want, and then we can do with it. We're going to, instead of shutting it down, we're going to flip it, I guess. So it's like buying a vacation home instead of renting. It's a very odd concept, what they did there. Really not.
Bonnie, do you have any guesses as to what Google actually got that was worth $22 million out of this?
You know, I don't know. Maybe the reviews, the images and things like that. But yeah, mm-hmm. It's a bizarre story, like you said. And that was a good analogy. Is it kind of like a flipping, you know, a house and... I don't know.
Yeah, it's like living in a house, but you took all the furniture out,
yeah.
And then you gave the house back to its original owner who built it back in the 60s.
Right.
It is. I have to say, I kind of like the idea that maybe Google did this on purpose to give Arthur Frommer his brand back. Like maybe they're like, hey, you know what? It may not be worth $22 million, but we can get a bunch of that data like Bonnie's talking about, like Ayaz is mentioning. We could suck that all out of there. And then we could do a really great thing and have Arthur Frommer in his twilight years be in charge of Frommer's once again. It's kind of nice to think of.
It's just such an odd story that they have that Google can just do something like this. It's just, oh, yeah, you know what we're going to do? We're going to buy it, and then we're just going to sell it. This is effectively what everyone thought they were going to do with Motorola. They were just going to sell it off. But this just has that weird added twist of selling it to the founder. Like,
okay. Huawei is always in the news for the fight over security concerns. Remember, they not only make handsets, but they also make networking equipment. In fact, they're the second largest making telecom gear, second only to Ericsson in that field. And Bob Kay, the Chinese company's vice president in charge of wireless network marketing, told the Wall Street Journal that U.S. growth has been hindered by security concerns, and so they're not going to grow very well in the U.S. this year. They will gain ground in Europe and Asia. And don't forget, in October, there was a congressional report that Huawei and ZTE, the provision of equipment to U.S. critical infrastructure could undermine core U.S. national security interests. Last week, Sprint, Nextel, and SoftBank agreed that if they were allowed to merge, they would not use gear from Huawei after they merged. Now, the economy has hurt network providers already. Ericsson's 2012 group revenue was pretty much flat. But Europe seems to have found a way to be comfortable using Huawei gear, which, again, is a Chinese company. And the worry is that there is some relationship to the Chinese government that allows a back door to be built in or information sharing. Father Robert has even said that, you know, at conferences, people have caught allegedly Huawei employees spying on other companies. I don't know whether to credit those reports particularly or not, but what is Europe seeing here that the U.S. isn't, or is the U.S. seeing something that Europe isn't? Bonnie, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I've been trying to follow this story because I find that really fascinating. I can't really speak to the security issues. I don't know about the credibility. You know, I'm curious. I don't know what kind of handsets Huawei is offering in Europe and Asia. you know, in the U.S., it's been kind of those low-end, really cheap phones. And I'm just wondering, you know, is that an impact? You know, are they offering these amazing phones at low prices? Or, I'm not sure. It's an interesting one.
Well, and it seems like the bigger concern is the handsets are a concern, but the bigger concern is that network equipment. Yeah. They're building in some kind of backdoor. The UK has shown that they have a very vigorous program of inspections and you know, surprise inspections and spot checking, and they feel comfortable putting this kind of gear in place. IaaS, are they crazy?
I don't know if they're crazy so much as the U.S. wants some kind of leverage against China at all. Because the thing is, the U.S. gets so much money from China that if at any turn the U.S. can do anything to have any leverage against China in the political realm, this is one of those things. We keep seeing these investigations. There's really nothing definitive out there if Huawei is spying or not. And there obviously is this perceived there have been all these reports of China saying the U.S. is hacking it, and then the U.S. saying China's hacking it. The other, they keep hearing these stories. So I think it's just, this is just a victim of all the politics going on between the two nations. Whether Huawei's equipment is fantastic or not, I don't know if Europe is just not worried about that. But the U.S., I think this is all political.
Yeah, and I think it is mostly political. I think there is also a real concern of what could happen. But generally, backdoors and those kinds of concerns end up being overblown. They end up being much harder to implement than a lot of people assume they would be. Cisco has been accused of working with, say, the FBI over putting in ports into their routers and that sort of thing. So it's not like it's just a Chinese thing. And I think that's what you're saying, is that this ends up being mostly a political thing. We will continue to monitor the Facebook phone announcement. But first, let's talk a little bit about EA building an app, nothing to do with gaming. It's about music sharing. I have that right?
The headline on VentureBeat read, EA builds an app for sharing music and photos. So this is right up there with Tom's story of Frommer's being flipped. So EA just built a social networking app. And what it does, it lets you create slideshows with your photos, and you can pull music from your iTunes library, or you can get music from Audio and Spotify. And with these photo slideshows, you can then share them on Facebook. The app's called View, and it's available on iPhone and iPad in Australia and Canada only. So these are the only markets getting this application. And it lets you add text and location. You can do little special effects of this. And according to VentureBeat, View is the result of a low-budget exploratory project that started with the EA Partners Group. Bonnie, do you have any idea why this thing exists?
I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting thing. You know, I like the idea of putting, you know, photos to music and things like that. But again, I don't know if I need another one of these kind of social networks. You know, I'm pretty good with what I've got. I don't know if they just did it just to see if they could and maybe kind of expand beyond games.
I mean, I think the app itself seems pretty cool in general. Yeah. This is interesting. But the thing that had me scratching my head this morning is why EA would be looking to do anything like this when it seems to be so far from what they know. Tom, what do you think?
I think this strikes me as a purely exploratory step. I think what they're doing is EA says, we need to make sure that we don't lose out by focusing just on games. And we have all these developers who want to experiment. We have this EA Partners program. Let's try something. Let's not try to make it sound like it's you know, the be-all, end-all strategy. We're not going to go out and have a big announcement about how we're getting into music. Let's just float it out there. Let's see how it does and see what people use it for. And in that respect, it makes sense to me. It's sort of EA. If EA has the bandwidth to do this and they have the money to try it, they can learn a lot about what people share, how people share, what people look for, even if a small number of people pick this up and use it. And that kind of thing could help them get into new areas. It could help them spin something out and maybe sell it to somebody, and can help them with Origin. They are trying to figure out how to best make Origin work for sharing and social as well. All the DRM controversy aside on the Origin network and it's, you know, requiring you to be online to use SimCity, if they can get people to use it by saying that's the only place you can get your game and have people creating strong social networks, it will bind people to it, even though they don't want to be bound to it. So that this just seems like one little toe in the water of that to me. That's my best guess anyway.
And to clarify a little bit, Vue isn't, as far as I know, it's not its own social network. It's a social networking app. So what you would do is you take these things and then share it to Facebook. So I don't think there's any, I don't believe you can post on your Vue profile, as far as I know. So if anybody knows about that, let me know.
And that'd be the lightest way to do it, right? Is to say, like, we're not even going to build the social network. We're going to just see what stuff people share.
I think if they went into social networking as a proper enterprise, that'd be crazy. This is, like you're saying, Tom, a good first step to see what else these developers want to do, because EA has been doing mobile gaming. They probably have talented developers who are just simply thinking, well, we had this little project. Do you guys want to use this? I'm very curious about these test markets, just Australia and Canada, and if this is going to expand, or if it's successful, will it expand, or what criteria makes EA not just do this low-budget exploratory project, what kind of feedback would they need to actually think, okay, you know what, we're actually going to try this full tilt?
Facebook announcement has moved into the product demo phase, and I see the word chat heads.
Yeah.
About.
Yeah, so Zuckerberg handed it off a few minutes ago to Adam Mosseri, who's the director of product, to sort of give us more of a deep demonstration of what's going on. And this whole experience is very, very gesture-based. He was showing off what they call the cover feed. It's basically your welcome screen, which is kind of a Ken Burns type of a thing where you've got images and updates from friends. You've got full-screen photos with small text at the bottom of description. They sort of automatically switch from one to the next. He says there's no Chrome here. There's no nav. It's all content-based. You swipe up from that photo, and then you get into your apps folder. And once you're in your apps folder, at this point, they've handed it off to Joey Flynn, who's the product designer. They've got a new way of conversing with all your Facebook friends called chat heads. Now, of course, chat heads are referring to the actual little profile pictures of your friends. And the whole idea is that chat heads are sort of floating above everything else. So no matter what you're doing, no matter what app you're in, if Ayaz and I are going to have a conversation and he tries to talk to me, I can then, I can ignore him. But the idea is that I don't have to say, oh, now I go into some sort of a messaging app and stop whatever I'm doing to have a conversation. It's I'm having a conversation as a layer on top of what I'm already doing on my phone, which is actually a pretty great idea. You know, a lot of people are already making jokes about the terrible name chat heads, but the idea of being able to chat as just an integration layer over whatever app you're already in is very interesting.
Bonnie, what do you make of chat heads?
I think it's a good idea too. Kind of simplifying things, like not having to exit out of apps just to do something else. I think having that just kind of presence there is a good idea. Yeah, the name is interesting, but I do like the idea of that.
What's also interesting is that chat heads will both work with traditional SMS and Facebook Messenger. This is not a, smart. Oh, you can't, you know, if somebody texts you, then that's in some sort of an app and that won't work this way. There apparently will be green bubbles a la iOS when something is SMS versus the Facebook messages themselves. But this is definitely, it's going for full integration. Not clear if that would apply to some other third-party messaging service or not.
I'll be very curious to find out, because it's obvious this is a total launcher replacement, what the interoperability is between this launcher and widgets, which widgets are a huge part of Android. But if you create a launcher that isn't compatible with importing the widgets of the thousands, hundreds of thousands of apps that support them, it kind of knocks you out of compatibility with a lot of other valuable things on Android.
They also
it
just mentioned
sound like you have to make a choice, right?
Yeah, totally.
They also just mentioned really quickly before we move along that this is something Facebook Home will also be available on tablets, but it is not available on tablets today. Something that they're working on.
Something down the road that they're going to do. But that is interesting. And it does look like we expected that this is attempting to take over your phone without being an operating system. They're saying, you know, from what Sarah was saying at that lock screen, everything you need is right there. So theoretically, you wouldn't need widgets. You know, you could just live in Facebook the whole time. So that's what we expected. I like the way they have the Facebook home screen working. I can see that working if I wanted to live inside Facebook all the time, which I absolutely don't. So it's not for me. But for somebody who's a big Facebook fan and loves keeping all their data there, so far, this looks like an attractive option. The question is, how many of those people are there out there? And we can debate that a little bit later on. They're still talking out there, so we'll let them continue. Sarah's going to keep an eye on that. Got one other discussion story I want to throw out there for talking about today. State of Washington has a law in their House up for debate in committee. It's meant to protect social networking passwords. We've got a lot of these laws being passed here in the United States right now, saying that you cannot ask a job interviewee for the password to their social network to do a background check. That's not okay. You can't ask for any kind of social media credentials during job interviews. And you can't ask your current employees for their social media credentials. However, business groups are asking for an amendment to the state of Washington's law saying that social media passwords could be asked for and could be compelled to be given during company investigations. All info not related to the investigation would remain confidential, but the company investigator would see it. And this is different from a California law bill. There's a California bill that allows for the employer to request access in case of an investigation, but there's no compulsion. So the state of Washington is going so far as to say, well, yeah, you have to give it if they ask if you want to keep your job. The original bill, according to opponents, would have opened an avenue for possible illegal activity by employees, such as divulging proprietary or consumer information to outsiders through social networks. Now, there's two reactions to this. One, the EFF, obviously the Electronic Frontier Foundation, Dave Moss, says this amendment says they have a right to enter your digital home. And he says that overreaches for a workplace investigation. You wouldn't allow someone to go ransack your house without a warrant. On the other hand, University of Washington law professor Ryan Kalo says if you're trying to investigate what happened and you suspect one of your employees, it seems like common sense you should be able to do this. However, there are legal mechanisms. So the question I'm asking here when I see this is, it sounds like businesses have a fair thing, which is if we have a real investigation of wrongdoing, we want to be able to see if any information was given through a social network. Should they be given the power to do that without having to go through the legal system, Bonnie?
No, I'm kind of on the side of the EFF and, you know, kind of the California regulation where, I mean, you should be able to get a quote unquote warrant or request before going in there.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I don't think there is a leg to stand on for business to say we should have special powers to force people to open up password protected anything, any kind of social media. I, as retired lawyer, maybe there's something we're missing here. What do you think?
Oh, my gut says this is the craziest thing I've ever heard. There is a system in place for this already. You go to the authorities and then you go through the proper channels. And this from what I'm reading here, this seems like it could be abused easily. Now, that doesn't mean that other laws can't be abused or other things can't be abused. It just seems a little bit. It just makes me very uneasy to think that businesses should have a power that has been reserved for the law. This is not something that I think businesses should have. Perhaps maybe in very special narrow cases, if you narrow this down, you talk about national security, which obviously has a giant definition, so who knows what that means. Or if you're talking about, you know, an impending threat or something to somebody's life, like maybe then you have the options to do this. But I still have a huge issue with this kind of what's traditionally meant for law enforcement to be given to a business.
Yeah, and I get that we are creating new ways of dealing with these new things, like social media. But where does it end? It's one thing to say I can look at your email in the workplace to investigate workplace wrongdoing because your email is going over my network. It's your corporate email, and we own it. That makes perfect sense to me. Would they have the right to go into your Gmail account, though, your personal Gmail account that you operate from home? Is that the same thing? I don't think they have that right, do they?
To go into your Gmail?
Yeah.
I know. Well, I think that varies. So I can't speak definitively about that right now. I have to look it up.
All right. We're done with our discussion stories, but they're still talking on stage. Looks like they're getting close to wrapping up, and they're announcing the hardware right now.
Yeah, that's correct. We've got We've got Facebook Home available April 12th in the Play Store. They're talking about the few devices that will be supported at launch. And we're actually at this point exactly in the announcement of a Facebook Home program for phone manufacturers. HTC, AT&T, Samsung, and Sony have all signed up, they say, and more. So this is kind of their one more, this is sort of their one more thing, part of the announcement. Just a few minutes ago, Zuckerberg had gotten back on stage. Facebook says they're going to be on a strict schedule. So they're not going to do this whole, like, OS is updated once a year. They say once a month, we'll have an update to Home with more features, offered on more devices. We saw a short video demo that, you know, showed a guy on a plane checking Facebook Home. So at this point, it's we're sort of getting to the point where it seems like we're wrapping up. And now we've got Peter Chow and Ralph De La Vega on stage. Peter says
Ralph De La Vega from AT&T, of course.
Correct. Yes. And says that this is a project they've been working on for a long time.
Here's where we start to hear basically about Facebook or the HTC First that's been rumored, the possible hardware branded by HTC that would be releasing on AT&T, potentially. At least that's what the rumors had been pointing to.
Exactly.
It's all about connecting with other people, and social media is increasingly mobile. Innovation is in our DNA. This is the quote that I'm reading. Something's not typed right there, but essentially, Facebook now... I mean, granted, this is not an operating system. It's built on Android, and it's just an app on steroids, as we expected. But they've got AT&T and HTC doing the dog and pony show with them. So from that end, it looks like a Facebook phone. It looks like a partnership that they had to get people on board with and had to go to the extent of inviting the dignitaries from those partners to come on stage and talk. Bonnie?
Yeah, we've got the HTC First that Chow's holding up. Other partners that have signed up besides HTC include Samsung, Qualcomm, Sony, Huawei, Lenovo, ZTE. It's a big launch here.
Yeah, Everything Everywhere, Orange, and Alcatel OneTouch internationally as well. So it's worldwide. Bonnie, are you surprised by any of these hardware announcements?
I'm really not surprised. You know, HTC was one of the first to get on board with the first Facebook phone. The question is, how many people are actually going to want this? I love Facebook, but I don't want just a Facebook phone. You know, I don't want that to be my main thing. So I'm curious how many they're going to sell and how they're going to kind of market this. And, Is Samsung going to make their own phone too, or is it just? Do we know that? Or
it just says they're a partner. I don't know.
I mean, I think what HTC has here is that they're first. It's also called the HTC First. This is the only hardware that you're going to be able to get this experience on. But obviously, Facebook is not in some sort of an exclusive agreement with HTC.
And I'm curious to know if. They are doing this as a launcher as well as a device release. What's different on the device release? If you're doing it as a launcher, you can't replace everything in a fail swoop. Like notifications, for example. I don't know if I've seen a launcher that necessarily changes the stock Google notifications or whatever the stock is for the particular device that you have pull down. And that's just one example. If you're getting one of these devices, is that a further skinning along the world of this whole Facebook overlay, or is it the same? And if it's the same, then why have devices dedicated to it? Because it could be anything.
Apparently, from the demonstrations, those notifications haven't been touched.
Right.
Although, Jason, you might be excited that the HTC One comes in four different colors.
The first.
The one is the other one.
Now that is
confusing.
Home first, yeah. One, come on.
They're all the same. But like as Jason was mentioning, this is a launcher. I saw it in one of the images, clicking the home button brings up that complete action with dialogue window. So you can either have your default launcher or the Facebook launcher. As to Jason's point as to whether what's going to be different on your first versus the other devices, I mean, all I could think about is hopefully hardware optimization. Maybe it runs faster. Because when I was seeing this launcher, I was thinking how I've used some really budget Android devices, and one of the first things I do is I get a different launcher because it usually runs smoother. If Facebook's software, its launcher, is light enough, it could be a really great front end for budget phones. Mm-hmm. If you have these lower cost devices that have this interface that people are used to, it could be an interesting way to get in, because it effectively would replace things like a Sidekick and these older messaging phones, the feature phones. Sure. That's where Facebook interface could be, really, is this well, Chatters kind of device. And I'm also really curious about how they plan to monetize this, because there is the whole plan to monetize mobile. Are we going to see ads on this? Are we going to see certain cover things happen?
You're going to see the Facebook ads on this. That seems obvious to me.
Yeah, but in what respect, since it's the launcher? That's the thing. It's not like it's just in your feed. Where else could they possibly put ads? It could be in the cover feed that they have. It could be in the chat head. I mean, I don't know where these things could show up.
They're not going to advertise in our chat heads, Ayaz. That's a little much.
Oh, I'm sorry. That sounded crazy. Not the chat head part. They advertise chat head. Mark Zuckerberg wants to tell you about AT&T.
Yeah, this is an LTE device. They've mentioned that. They kind of keep mentioning that over and over again. To answer the question about hardware and what's different about the hardware you buy that is a, you know, like the HTC First, I suspect there is a little bit of code optimization for these devices, a little bit of cooperation, as I has mentioned, but I also think it's a marketing partnership. I think it's when you walk into the store, it says Facebook on the phone. They get to use that trademark and they get to call it a Facebook phone, and it's pre-installed with the app.
A lot of people are mentioning that this HTC phone looks a lot like an iPhone. It's a lot cheaper than an iPhone. The HTC First will be available April 12th for $99.99.
att.com/Facebook Home is the URL. So that's the other side of it, right? You go to the web and you get to see Facebook plastered all over the place. When you go to Facebook.com, they're going to be touting this thing in their ads on Facebook, both on mobile and on the desktop. So they're going to get that oomph of Facebook promoting something behind it. It looks like Mark Zuckerberg's coming back on stage. Well, while we find out what he's saying, Sarah, let's fire up the randomizer, because it's Mark Zuckerberg related. Just coincidentally, somehow today, Gizmodo.com reporting that Mark Zuckerberg's Angel Fire page seems to have surfaced. We don't know for sure if it's a hoax, but it's not April Fool's anymore. And this Angel Fire page, it says it's Mark's homepage, and it looks like it was made by a 15-year-old, which is how old Mark would have been made at the creation date of this page. And it has some intriguing little Java applets on there. A lot of people are having some fun, at least poking around in it and imagining it may have been Mark's homepage. Angel Fire, like GeoCities, was free to make a homepage, and Angel Fire, unlike GeoCities, is still around. So if you made a page on there, it's likely still up.
Oh, there's early websites you design when you're young. It's like, you know, the style. It's like seeing yourself with a bad haircut when you're a kid, or the horrible 80s clothing you'd wear, the neon bright day glow colors. And you're just like, oh no, why do I have an animated Felix going back and forth? I'm loving the idea that if this is truly Mark Zuckerberg's website, or was, it's what happens when you first try out things. You are embarrassed later on.
Yeah. I like his little best list, if it is his, but...
Oh, yeah, that's so the teenager.
The best food?
Best person to pick on, Pete.
I think, quesadillas. Sarah, you get along with him. The best food is quesadillas. They're not enchiladas, but quesadillas.
Sure.
It's an early attempt at a Facebook profile.
The best web presence.
Totally is.
Don't run it if you don't. Don't go to the site if you don't run Java, because you won't be able to see pretty much anything there. I think it's cute, even if it isn't Mark Zuckerberg's homepage. All right, so we do seem to be wrapping up. Zuckerberg's still on stage.
Yeah. I mean, really, the only updates we've had since we checked in a couple minutes ago is at the HTC First, we'll also be coming to Everything Everywhere in Orange in Europe, as well as AT&T here in the States. And Zuckerberg is talking about the world and communication and people first. And it does seem to be that they're trying to wrap it up within the hour.
So April 12th is when you'll be able to get the app.
Mm-hmm. You can pre-order now.
Buy the HTC First. You can pre-order now. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And interesting what he's talking about in the world. There was a great article on TechCrunch today about how Facebook has done a lot of work to set itself up to be the entryway for people picking up their first phone in large parts of the world that don't have service or just starting now to get cell phone service anyway, through SIM cards, through Facebook Zero, which we've talked about on the show. And this is a great way to allow a lightweight Facebook interface to run on a cheap Android phone. You could see that happening in India, in Africa, even in China, where they could come out with some really inexpensive phones for people who have started to climb up that ladder and say, hey, I'm actually ready for a little bit of a better phone that isn't that expensive, but I love Facebook. I've been using Facebook Zero. I've been using that Facebook SIM card, and I wanted to do more, so I will go to the Facebook phone. The Home will be available for download on the HTC One X, the HTC One X Plus, Samsung Galaxy S3, and Samsung Galaxy Note 2, and they're off into the Q&A time. Yeah. All right. While they do Q&A, do you mind taking a look at the calendar?
Yes, I will switch to the calendar. Oh, my gosh. Where is everything?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. I didn't mean to do that to you.
That's okay. Netflix has confirmed something that a lot of people are going to get excited about. May 26 is the launch date for new Arrested Development season. Woohoo! Also, the AT&T Samsung Galaxy S4 pre-orders start on April 16th.
All right, we'll be keeping an eye out for those. Let's see what's incoming.
Incoming message.
Oh my gosh, it's a message from Alan. Regarding your comments on Amazon or other web retailers leveraging localized warehouses for use as showrooms, I just wanted to add I would love to see them open business prime locations focusing on demo tech items. Recently, I was shopping for an Ultrabook with Touch for Windows 8 use, or even a Chromebook. I wanted to change from OS 10. But I wanted an ultra portable. I'm within easy driving distance of 3 Best Buys and went hoping to try out some PCs. Most online reviews seem to indicate many of the ultrabooks have issues with their keyboard feel or touchpads, that they should be tried before you buy, and I wanted to play with Windows 8. The 3 locations had a grand total of 1 ultrabook with touchscreen on demo and 0 Chromebooks, an OS I also wanted to try before committing to. There were Surfaces, but I was looking for a real keyboard. They were more than willing to order whatever I wanted, but I did not want to buy anything sight unseen and risk having to return an item. So I ended up with a MacBook Air because there were dozens of them on a demo at my local Apple store.
Yeah, I think with Samsung launching their in Best Buy stores today, this is pretty relevant email about how people do sometimes really just want to pick it up and hold it before they buy it. Don't you think, Bonnie?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think there's still a lot of people who want to go in and actually see the product, you know, try out some of the features, look at OS, whatever. So, yeah, no, I think it's retail stores are still very much a big player.
All right, before we wrap up, one thing coming out of the Q&A here, Sarah, it looks like they're making some clarifications about what you get when you buy one of the phones that has it pre-installed versus what happens if you buy one of the phones there and install it yourself.
So as far as HTC's version, question was what kind of optimizations will be happening on that end. He says instead of setting up several apps, it's already set up for you. There's more integration with system notifications. Right. That's something that can only be done early in the development process. So the HTC First, will be optimized in a unique way. They said being able to work directly with HTC and AT&T has been very helpful. Someone asked the question of, well, what kind of search? Is it Google? Is it Bing? And Zuck said, it's whatever you want. I mean, we're Facebook. We're not taking sides there.
You just do that. I don't want to answer that.
So system notifications, just to clarify what I was saying earlier, they will work inside Facebook Home on the HTC First. With the downloaded version on other devices, they won't be.
Yeah, there we go. All right. So before we go around the horn, what do you think of the HTC First and Facebook Home, Bonnie Cha?
I actually like it. I think they did a smart integration of Facebook. We'll have to see if people, you know, if there are enough people who are into a Facebook phone, though.
Yeah, I think it's going to depend a lot on how many of those people out there who are not the discerning smartphone buyer just like the idea of saying, hey, I love Facebook. I'd love to have Facebook take over my home screen. Ayaz, what do you think?
I love the idea that Facebook got into the launcher game. I want to see a lot more launcher players. There's a lot of competition out there. Remember when Jason first tried to explain to me what a launcher was on Android? my brain was just like, it was not computing this because I came from iOS. Like, you can't change the way things are. I like this idea that you can switch up. The other thing is if you don't like Facebook Home, you can switch to a different launcher. So yeah. It's not like you're getting locked in. The first, I think, could be a sleeper hit for HTC. It's giving them something different because Samsung, I don't care if they are a partner or not, they're not moving off of TouchWiz. They're not going to let you use Facebook as your default launcher unless something significant happens.
Yeah, what is Samsung up to? They're working with Mozilla on a mobile browser. They're working with Tizen. They seem to like not even want to acknowledge that Google makes Android, and now they're going to be working with Facebook. They've got their fingers everywhere. That's a very interesting thing to keep an eye on. Sarah, you had your head subsumed in this all episode long. What did it look like to you?
A lot of chat heads, Tom. I actually think a lot of the UI that was shown off today is great. It works well. There's some different ways of interacting with, again, your friends as a layer on top of whatever you happen to be doing at the time that I think is sort of the future of how OSs will evolve. Mobile OSs can adopt this sort of thing. This is just something that Facebook's showing us that we haven't seen before. However, this is all determined on how much you want to use Facebook. To me, I find, even though I think that it is executed well, the premise that I want Facebook as a layer on top of everything that I'm doing just simply isn't true. Not for me. And I'm wondering how many people are going to say, yes, this is something that I've been wanting because I'm in the Facebook experience so much. I really kind of never want to leave it. I know from people, you know, who hate Facebook in our chat room that some of you don't want anything to do with this phone because it's the opposite of what you want. But for the people who are on the fence, I wonder who the market is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my instinct is that there are more of those people out there than maybe we would like to think. Not even would like to think, but that we think there are.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Jason, I'm curious from the all about Android perspective, what you think of this phone.
I think for techies, like you guys have said, it's a curiosity. I don't know how many times I've installed a launcher because it looked completely different. And for the first few days, I'm like, wow, this is kind of interesting. This is new. This is different. It's fresh. And then after about a week, I'm like, you know what? I actually like stock way better than I like this. For techies, that's probably going to be the case. They're going to get a lot of instant installs of this launcher, not even taking the HTC first into consideration, just the launcher perspective. You're going to get a lot of installs at the front of it. I'd be really curious to see 2, 3, 4 months down the line how many people are still continuing to use it and whether it's actually made a lasting impact, because that ends up being kind of the issue with launchers is they're great in the short term because it's different, but do they keep you forever?
There's a tweet. Someone says, Facebook Home is like Flipboard for photos of your friends' kids. See, with that right there.
No reason to ever.
You know? It is all about those friendships, right? That's the whole basis that this is constructed on.
You might start unfriending people more because you see this so often. You're like, wow.
Exactly. So now Facebook has they want deeper connections, but now we're all annoyed with each other because your kid is now Ken Burns-ing while my phone is, you know,
on
the lock screen.
Well, he is playing baseball while he's doing it. It's completely fine.
All right. Well, Sarah Lane, well done. Great job.
Hey, you never really call me Sarah Lane, so thank you, Tom. All right, I guess you're taking me seriously now. My surname has been added to the...
It's like when you're in trouble, they call you by your middle name. When you like kick ass covering live event in the middle of another show where we're discussing other things, that's pretty impressive.
Well, this is fun. It's fun to do this every once in a while. I hope that everyone in Tech News Today audience feels that we handled it appropriately. We were maybe going to cover it as a different.
That's right. We kept the swearing down. We did not set anything on fire.
We had a fairly long email thread discussion about whether we should do TNT early and cover this live like a special or whether we should mash them up like we did today. So let us know what you thought of the way we covered this today at TNT@twit.tv. And of course, Bonnie Cha, thank you so much for riding along with us today. Great to have you along.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. It was a lot of fun.
And folks can find you at allthingsd.com. Anything in particular you want to let them know about that you're up to over there?
Just check out the review section, which is right on the right side. So we've got plenty of good reviews over there.
Yeah, good stuff from Bonnie Cha. Go read it, allthingsd.com. Of course, our subreddit is where you can tell us what stories you'd like us to cover, technewstoday.reddit.com. We do look at that. It helps inform us what things you think are important, or at least the folks that are participating. So if you're not participating, get in there, technewstoday.reddit.com. You can find us on the web at twit.tv/TNT. You can email us, tnt@twit.tv, or give us a call. Leave us a voicemail, 260-TNT-SHOW. Darren Kitchen from Hack 5 joins us because it's Friday tomorrow. We'll see you then.